Stacy slammed the door, shutting out her brother Brad's angry and hurtful words, leaving him in thick silence. All he saw before him now was her name on her bedroom door, Stacy, ending in an I, dotted with a circle. The silence was quickly ambushed by the screaming and nagging thought that Brad has, that he should knock on that door immediately and say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, I don't know what got into me. Would you please forgive me?" But instead, hours pass. Brad and Stacy are not talking now. The scraping and banging of forks on the dishes at the dinner table is deafening. A week passes. Brad goes off to college. The silence between him and Stacy is only occasionally interrupted by the superficial conversations at the Thanksgiving table and the church picnics and the celebration on the 4th of July. Years of silence continue to pass. Brad moves across the country, and the silence now is only broken by the occasional Christmas card or birthday card with a solitary word written, "Stacy," ending in an I, dotted with a circle. Decades pass of silence between them. The silence is not peace. That would be a lie. Yeah, all things are quiet. That is, until 5 o'clock on a snowy Friday morning when the phone rings. That's when the wounded children wake up. For Joseph and his brothers, the news of their father's death wakes up their wounded child within them. Loss has a way of doing that in our lives, stirring up old memories, opening up old wounds, just like the wounds we see between Joseph and his brothers in Genesis. It's times like these that pain and resentment surface, stuff that we thought was long forgotten. Old thoughts resurface like, "Joseph, he was always Dad's favorite. Joseph was that well-dressed, spoiled brat. Do you remember the multicolored tunic? And now, he's Pharaoh's favorite, dressed in royal garb." And what about Joseph? You'll remember that Joseph's brothers threw him into the ditch, basically an open grave, and they sold him into slavery. You'll remember that it was because of his slavery in Egypt that he is falsely accused of trying to violate Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. One thing after another, getting worse and worse in his story. Joseph has all these painful memories that started with his own brother's betrayal. "Because of you, brothers, I was sold into slavery, spent years in prison, almost lost my life, and certainly almost lost my faith." The silence now is broken. Jacob, their father, is dead. We know that those years of silence, when they never talked about these things, because of all the stuff that happened and now is surfacing, is probably due to the loss of their father. And like Joseph and his brothers, we can also buy into a similar lie. The lie that time heals all wounds. The lie that silence is golden. And the same thing is forgiving and choosing not to remember. We buy into the lie that the slammed doors of our teenage years have no impact on the rest of our lives. We buy into the lie that an unforgiving spirit has no impact on today or tomorrow. And we buy into the lie that guilt and shame will fade away on its own. When the brothers finally ask Joseph for forgiveness, Joseph weeps. They weep. They mourn the loss of their relationship. That's a godly sorrow. Is it the news of their father's death? Is it because of the painful memories that they share? Are they tears of compassion for one another? Because they carried with them all these years all the guilt and shame and fear of retaliation. We're actually not told. I think Joseph wept and his brothers wept because of all of those things. Often, our grief is mixed and varied and diverse. And it's through those salty tears running down Joseph's face that he runs to the place he learned to run over and over again during his darkest hours. Joseph runs into the loving, merciful, and gracious arms of his Lord, his Heavenly Father. My mother and my father may forsake me. My brothers may forsake me, but the Lord, He will take me in. Joseph speaks some of the most powerful words of good news in the Bible, I think, ever. As for you, brothers, you meant evil against me, but God, He meant it for good. That is putting the best construction on things, I think. Joseph is made whole and mended by his relationship with God and his trust in Him. And he speaks out of his faith in a forgiving and loving and merciful way, just as the Father is. Joseph reminds us, and he reminds his brothers, that God has had a plan all along. He reminds us that God even uses evil meant for our destruction. He reminds us that God forgives our sin so that we can forgive each other, just as He demonstrates. Even decades of dysfunctional, destructive family behavior. He reminds us of the God who has a plan for our good. God leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. God uses some of the most unjust, gruesome, and evil things in history, not to mention the wrongful execution of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness, life, and salvation of the world. Joseph's words remind us that God breaks the deafening silence of our unforgiveness. God melts away the bitterness, the pain, the guilt, the anger. God softens our hardened hearts with words of reconciliation. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God, He meant it for good. Only the love of God, through His Son Jesus Christ, can heal that wounded child. And since God has forgiven us a lifetime of sin, a debt that we could never repay, so we ought to forgive and not nickel and dime one another with our petty sins, as we should forgive from our heart, a heart filled with gratitude and faith in God's forgiveness, and a heart filled with compassion for those weighed down with guilt and shame. God had a written script for Joseph's life and the life of his brothers. And so he does for you and for me. It's a story that will finally end with redemption, with forgiveness, peace, and reconciliation with him and one another. Or rather, that's how the story begins. This may lead us to finally pick up that phone and speak a word of comfort to someone. Or imagine writing that note of reconciliation and not just a solitary name on that card. Or maybe God is leading us to have that conversation with someone to break the years of silence with a good word, putting the best construction on God and his purposes for us, just as Joseph finally broke his silence. We have wronged each other. There is no doubt about that. But in the midst of the pain, guilt, and chaos, God says, I have a plan. A plan for forgiveness, life, reconciliation, and eternal salvation. As for us, we often mean evil, but God means it for good. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.